Mighty blessing. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for the prayers and cause and thoughts, you know. Without the bride, working with the bride, things wouldn't be the same. So we thank you. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 84. When you pray for a member, my driver's license, I lost him. And I have a little safe with the information in it and lost the key to the safe. So just pray that I find Buffalo. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for all the things that you do for us. God, we're thankful for knowing that we have one that we can call upon in the time of health, in the time of weaknesses. Lord, we ask you just to be with all of us and guide us and lead us to all truth and understanding, God, that which we seek in your word, Lord. For we know that all things that you promise, Lord, will be fulfilled that hasn't. God, we ask you and we love you and we thank you. Remember those in the Sunday school classes and remember Brother Dale, Father, and just bless him. Bless us all together. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 84. How amicable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longeth, yea, even pain for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh are in doubt for the living God.
Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even the iron altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them.
Passing through the valley of life, may they dwell well, and reign also well with the fools.
They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appear before God.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah.
Behold, O God, our shield and our and look upon the face of thine anointed.
For they in thy courts are better than thousands. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man in whom thou trust in thee. God bless you. Be seated.
So cross page there at number 8. Oh, I won't see him.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever, I'll be saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, years all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leaves whatever betide. Oh, I want to see him. cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Aren't you looking forward to that? Let's turn over to number 34. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, of sinners, Jesus will save. All He has promised, that will He do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin cleansing blood, pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen. We're going to change the service now. The young people getting ready to do their program. So I guess they're coming on up. I don't know. Let's just do that course again.
When I see the blood, when I pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh boundless love, oh loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. Sinners, Jesus will say, all he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood,
reach that city on the hill.
On top of Mount Zion is the city, and the earth with glory it doth fill. And I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city,
children have a program they want to put on, so we're going to go right on into that and get everything to go in. So bring the girls and kids on and bring them up for the program. All right, you may be seated. Anybody got a match? A lighter? Enjoy that. Let's give our kids a good hand. Amen and amen. We certainly do appreciate them. Appreciate their... Better get on. Right. Appreciate their parts of doing and everything, and we just pray that you'd enjoy it. And that is our generations to come, so that's the wonderful thing. But we certainly do appreciate all of the doings and all of the workings that the adults have done, the teachers and things, to be able to let them sing together. Okay, let's stand together, and we'll just go right into service. We'll make it short and not too long, and then because we got our rest of the day, we're going to have our time together and fellowship together and eating together and doing, you know, all of our things today in the Lord. So we're glad to have everybody. I don't know if there's anybody a visitor. If it is, we always say to you, welcome. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that hadn't been here before. There's some that wasn't here, but we do see they're pointing around. So, oh, okay. Glad to have our visitor with us. And we always say to you, we say welcome. And you come back the next time, you just get a saying, okay, you're here. Because we don't have anything to join up with, and we're all just a part of the body of Jesus Christ. So, okay? Let's just pray and go right into the service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to gather together today, and thank you for the children, Lord, as they would be singing and making merry unto you, Lord, the musical instruments playing and just showing how much they think about you, Lord, because without you, they would not be able to do these things. And the adults, the teachers, and the things that, you know, done their part, Lord, to help them and all, we thank you for all of that. We ask you now that you would just go with us in the furtherment of the service and just have your way, forgive our sins, and lead us by thy grace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn where we've been reading in Ephesians, and we'll just read that scripture for today and do. And so remember all the prayer requests. There were different ones given in, and be with each one. And remember Brother Bob, the Lord willing, will be preaching this coming Wednesday. So remember that. And then on December the 23rd now, that's the Wednesday. Remember, we're not having service on December the 23rd, Wednesday. We're having service on December the 22nd, which is Tuesday. Okay? Everybody got it? Get it all down to where we're doing. And remember then the watch night service. Brother Forney will be here with us to minister unto us, and pray that the Lord would bless each one as we end out a year and bring in a new one. And I'll, and remember now that on that week, because of it coming up to the watch night service, we won't have Wednesday night service the week now of the work coming up to the watch night service, okay? Everybody understand? We will be having just the December the 31st on, what is that, Thursday or Friday, ever what it is, but we'll be having that. All right, no Wednesday service that week, okay? I think that covers all of it and all, but let's just read our scripture and go right on into the service. And if I miss anything, you announce it and we'll get it straight, okay? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, now what is the mystery of his will? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're going to try to be short and not be too long this morning because we got some things to do before we get ready to our eating, but there will be no service this afternoon, so then we'll have all afternoon to be able to eat and fellowship together and you know, doing whatever, you know, you feel for Christ in your life, because that's what we do together. We have this time together as our fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I made a statement last Sunday that I want to read before we start and then just get it out of the way, because sometimes I'll make a statement and I think, well, you know, everybody doesn't have the ability to study the message, and you say, Brother Brown said so-and-so, and then they'll come up and say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you know, I try to read a lot because of that point, that a lot of people doesn't have this message in the ability you and I have it with the computers and with the time-wise and the things like that. But I made a statement in the message talking about something there, and I figured it might be a little loophole that somebody would want to say. I just said, no, I don't know he said that. Well, I'll try to read it. This is on the, so they're going to run it up on Demonology, Religious Realm, 1953. And this is the statement that I made. I said, Christ came and broke the scriptures, I think was the word I used. But see, it's technically it was broke the law. All right? But I want you to make sure you understand. God made a covenant with man, and man breaks his covenant every time. A man never did keep his covenant with God. The law was never kept. They couldn't keep the law. Now watch. Christ was come and broke the law himself. Now, how could he be the law and be God and break his own word? All right, so I was trying to explain it that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And that's an appointment we will keep. All right? But someday, that scripture will be broken in the basis of it will not be in effect because somebody is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, according to the scriptures. All right? So then it's not that it's breaking it like we would call breaking it, doing wrong, but it's that scripture no longer has effect. See, when it says it's appointed unto man wants to die, someone who reaches a change has that it won't affect them because you stepped into it. And see, Jesus Christ, then what did he do? He broke the law because it was appointed unto man wants to die. But he raised. All right? And see, by him raising, that broke the scriptures that was saying he had to stay in the grave. All right? And that's what I was saying, and I knew that the statement was there. So look what the prophet goes on. He's talking about Christ has come and broke the law himself. Why? Because grace had already provided a Savior. Grace provided a Savior before the law came into being. All right? So then it's exactly what I was saying, that it's the point that it's appointed. See, there's certain things that the Scripture will say that when it come to the doing, you know, the fulfilling it, Jesus Christ fulfilled that Scripture, and it's no longer in effect. All right? Because somebody will come to a place to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, according to the Bible. All right? So then it will make that Scripture not of none effect. Now watch what I'm saying. Because everybody but the bride who takes that change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, will have to go by the grave. See? Everybody will have to go by the grave. Even your two witnesses over to Israel and things. They're killed and then raised up. See, it's still in effect. But to you and I, it won't be in effect. Do you understand the point I was driving at? That it won't be in effect to you and I, because I was trying to explain how that is, we'll get to the end of what we're talking about, how that it's not just cut and dried, as we think. I don't believe that. I don't believe everything is cut and dried. God knows what he's doing. But he doesn't change his mind about his word. See? All right? See, then he could give the man 15 years to his life there in the scripture that he had done told him through the prophet that he would die. See, then when the man talked to God, God gave him 15 years. Is it then that, as I said, Wednesday or third Sunday, is it God stamping it as this has got to be? So many seconds. You know that Brother Branham even said it this way? Have you ever noticed this one? He said God dealt with Israel for about 30 or 40 years after Calvary. Now you explain that. That's your business. I'm just making the quote. He said he dealt with Israel until Titus came in. Now, did he give them salvation? I couldn't agree with that, but he dealt with them. See? All right? See, then everything is, it's not just as we call it, cut and dried. It is set on the basis of one thing that I believe the prophet is trying to explain to us, and I want to make sure we get it rightly, that we talked about Sunday. Which one came first? Predestination? To where would be destiny determined beforehand? Or was it foreknowledge first? So Romans 8 and 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. All right? So foreknowledge comes first. You say, well, that's just a technical. Well, it's technical enough to what I think is right. Because, now remember how I brought it out. I won't spend that much time on it, but remember how I brought it out, because it's the way I believe it. If you put predestination first, then that would be God choosing. And he doesn't choose. You say, well, wait a minute, we're chosen. You better get that scripture right. You say, yeah, but God chose me. How is that scripture placed? When I give you the quote there Sunday, I'll try to read it again today, where Brother Brown said, God didn't choose. Now, you're going to argue your scriptures and argue your point, see, and you think you know what you're talking about just because you got a quote. Put it all together. If he chooses and predetermines, then the other person that he didn't choose or predetermine would be lost. So now you're trouble. But if you go back to foreknowledge, and let foreknowledge be first. And remember how I was explaining foreknowledge? It's not just foreknowledge of God in his mind. Because in his mind, he knew everybody and everything. So it's not to just say, well, foreknowledge is just in his mind. No. Foreknowledge that I'm talking about, and I believe the prophet is speaking of, in the basis, the way he uses it, is actually going back to the very mind itself. Not going to what the mind would think of. See, people would say, you know, well, if I was in God's mind, I'm okay. Well, Judas Iscariot was in God's mind. The devil, in being who he would be, was in God's mind. See? So we'll get to the point now. Just hold a point to where that you talk about choosing and how that is until we get to another message. Because the key is that we're chosen in him. Because you see, you say, well, I've got the scripture where it said, and that's right. You never chose me, I chose you. That's true. But if you make it him choosing and picking without other things being first, you have your predestination just exactly like organized religion taught it, and people arguing over it and don't understand it. All right. But how did your prophet say it was? He said, by foreknowledge, said his foreknowledge, let him know Esau would be a shyster. His foreknowledge let him know. That's on the message, Jehovah Jireh. All right. Let me just quote a few of these coming down. On the message, then, and when their eyes were open, they knew him. Predestination is a bad word. You know, not meaning bad. It means it's a hard word for people to do. He said it's really foreknowledge. God knows before who will and who won't. So therefore, he can predestinate by his foreknowledge. He's not willing that any should perish, but he knows who will perish. All right, now if you don't believe in that kind of a God, what kind of a God have you got that could set back before the world ever begun and no ever thing would ever take place on earth? As the prophet said, every time, every gnat that would ever be in the world, and every time it bat its eye. Now that's infinite, right? Amen. Now, to me, I tell you my way of saying infinite, and you don't like it, I'm sure people don't. But you say, well, it was predestinated that Dick and Gail get married.
Amen.
Well, but you know, God knows if they'd have not married each other. You say, but that's impossible. God deals with the impossible. He knows everything. And Gail probably says, it would have been good if I had married somebody else. So, and Dick agrees with it, so okay. But see, you don't think about an infinite God that way. I think about a God, you say, well, God knows I'm going to step out with my right foot. Well, he knows if you'd step with your left foot. It doesn't make no difference. If he don't, he's not God. What kind of a God do you have? Yeah. I mean, I thought he was infinite. I thought he was all-knowing. I thought he was the eternal God. Well, then we need to realize what it is. See? Watch what he says on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Preached in 58. Now, I'm not giving you these on the thing. We'll get to that in a minute. He said, now, not the predestination. Not that God predestines anything to be, but by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate, for he knoweth all things. You say, but yet, his predestination. Remember how I taught it last Sunday and how I believe it. It doesn't matter who you are. If you want to claim to be a seed, if you want to claim to be all of these things, whatever you claim to be, it's all by foreknowledge. Right. Or whether we're the worst person in the world and doomed to hell, it would still be by foreknowledge. Why not?
Right.
Why not it be for the point that God would know before he made anybody what they would do? The fall in the garden didn't pull anything over on him. He already had the tree of life in the garden. He knew what it was going to be. But he also had the tree of knowledge of good and evil because he knew what it was going to be. He knew if he made us. I made the statement in there and kind of laughed about it. I said, you mean you don't even know your own children? You think God didn't know before the world if he made us and gave us a choice that we'd fall? You think he didn't know that? Well, you sure are belittling us. That's not belittling. It's just plain truth. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now, what are you? An animal. No different than all that animals out there that's killing each other. You understand? See, God then, how does he foreordain? He foreordains in the basis that he or predestinates that God by foreknowledge can predestinate. By foreknowledge, he can predestinate. All right? And look what he goes on. These are some I gave you last week on the message, God's covenant with Abraham. It brings us to election, he said. Now, God, by foreknowledge, could set election.
Right.
So you say, but now the election was for... No. We're going to get some quotes in a minute where the prophet said it, and I'll give it last Sunday, that by foreknowledge he elects.
Right.
You remember why he does it that way? I mean, remembers why he does it that way. He predestinates by foreknowledge. That way, the thing formed can't say, why did you form me wrong? Because he never formed us wrong. He gave us a choice. And every person in the world gets a choice called what? Your recent age of accountability, we call it. And you get a choice. All right? See, then if you don't place it upon that basis, what is it? But listen. He said on the message, adoption, predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Now watch him. I mean election. Election looks back to foreknowledge, and predestination looks to the destiny. See, then your election is based upon foreknowledge. Well, I like it the way Brother So-and-so preached. It's a great mystery, and I just get so excited thinking of how I was back there. Well, the only thing that was ever back there would have to be God. Now, what are you doing? When he was self-existing, where were you at? I thought that's where he started off at. Because that's the only word we can use, Elohim, self-existing. So then it's by foreknowledge that he does go, what? Election looks back to foreknowledge. And then predestination goes on to your destiny of where you're going. Why can't you believe it that way? Right. Here was the one I gave that I'm sure a lot of people don't like, because it's what I said. A lot of people don't have the ability to study the message like you and I. So I'll think about that and I try to pick up some quotes. Because remember how Brother Branham was saying on that message adoption? He said, my whole family, my mother, my father, all my whole family were sinners. He said, I was a cucklebur, but all of a sudden I become a wheat grain. Hey, but I've got a quote. You know, that's what people do. Brother Branham says it's not wheat turned into. No, it's not. A kookaburra turned into a wheat. May I explain it his way? Off of the Message Having Conference, 1960, and he says, "My, anyone knows that something happened to me. I was a kookaburra, and he made a wheat out of me." See, you take one quote, you take one thought, one idea, and that's the same thing we've done in the denominations. Is we just, you know, I got Matthew 28:19. I believe that. Thinking is contrary to Acts 2:38, and it can't be. But we think in our own thoughts. Now watch what he says. He goes down to the Message, the token. He's talking about person being a sinner. And he says, now he's a new creation, a new creature now. His desires and ambitions is of heaven, because he's changed from a kookaburra to a wheat. His desires ain't the same as they once was, and he displays it. Now listen to what he goes on to the Message. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. And remember, because here's where he explains it. Listen. If I take a kookaburra and cut it open, draft into it the heart of a wheat, and put it there, bury it, it would bring forth wheat out of the kookaburra. So now Brother Brown's writing both statements, right? You're not a kookaburra turned into a wheat. He's dealing with the inside. We're still the same old kookaburra, whatever you want to call it outside. But the new birth comes to change that inside and makes you the wheat or a Christian on the inside. You're still a sticker on the outside. May I quote the prophet? You'll be a sticker until you're changed. But we don't like that. We like to try to make it fit our thoughts and ideas. But I just wanted to make sure you caught that point. Because, see, I know what people do. They say, well, I read this book, and that's what the prophet said. I told you about a man that Wade and I run into one time. My wife, she wanted me to tell the fella that day sitting there, but the guy, he was sitting there talking, and he said, I don't believe that church age book. He said, Lee Vail's wife wrote it. And Peggy punched me. I thought it was in a big crowd. I told her later, I said, I'll catch him in the morning. Next morning, we were riding down the road going deer hunting, and I said, Brother, I'd like to talk to you for a second. Said, you made a statement yesterday, and you said that Lee Vail's wife wrote the church age book. He said, yeah, that's why I don't want it. I said, listen. I said, Lee Vail's wife typed it up. She typed it. He said, well, I've been told she wrote it. Well, see, according to his information. His information was from somebody that she wrote it. I said, no. I said, Brother Lee Vail grammarized it and done the thing. His wife typed it up and they put it in book form. Well, you see, we get a thought in our mind and we've got it set that that's the way it is. And see, that's what you think about election or something. You say, well, God elected me. Well, you better be careful. He might have elected you to be a kookaburra. You say, no, he didn't do that. Well, he does it this way. How does God elect? See? Our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, says the Bible. We were elected by God by his foreknowledge. He elected us. That's the Message blind Bartimaeus gave it last Sunday. Message, faith of Abraham. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny, that God, being infinite in the beginning, knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, he knew what people would do, so he could foretell what would take place, for he knew what they'd do. That's why he says, Esau, Jacob, how I love Esau, how I hated. He knew what they was doing. He's not willing that Esau would be that way, but Esau by choice. And that's the message of the faith of Abraham, 1955. You see, church, we think we know all about things. But do we follow it in the correct order? Just like he says, where I think Pentecost failed. He said, predestination looks back to foreknowledge. See, now he's changing your wording. Before he's saying, you know, predestination and going back and foreknowledge. Watch. Foreknowledge looks to destination. Predestination goes back to the foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes to destination. If you don't have him to have foreknowledge, do you understand? Maybe this is not right. But I can't believe it any other way. But the basis of the prophet saying that it's foreknowledge first and then predestinate. The Bible saying it's foreknowledge first. See, that's the way I believe it. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I at least tell you what I believe. Because, see, I believe God by his foreknowledge, he could predestinate. Yeah, but that don't leave that great seed that we are. If he knew you was going to be a seed, he predestinated Jacob as well as he did Esau. It's all by foreknowledge. Foreknowledge comes first. And remember my point, foreknowledge is just not a thought in his mind. It's not just something he thought of. Foreknowledge is going back to the very person that done the thinking of anything. Back into the back part, as Brother Brown said, Christ the mystery of God revealed, of God's mind. Right? So then it's based on what? Foreknowledge. And foreknowledge lets him know how to predestinate. Then everything is. Listen, you predestination people. Then that away, everything in God is predetermined before the world ever begun. But remember, it's by his foreknowledge. Because he knew what you'd do. Now it's settled. It's settled. There's no problem, right? Well, I've known all my life, it's just been predestination. Well, okay, maybe it's about time you'd think a little bit about foreknowledge. You know, you might ought to consider that. That's what I'm here for. You know, I'm here to stir up those things and to bring out little points and things that you didn't think of. And, you know, that's what a preacher's for, is to get us into that line. Now, watch these quotes, because I want these. It won't take but just a little bit. But look what, Brother Brown, go ahead, number one, brothers, because this is the message super sign. I want to get these on here because I want the people out there to know as much as you know about it. And he says, God knowed the end from the beginning, therefore he could plan everything, that it would work out just to his glory. Remember, how did he do it? He knowed the end from the beginning. And it gives us courage to know that no matter what comes or goes, God is making everything. The clock is ticking just exactly on time. All things work together. What? But remember, it says to the called according to his purpose. Everything don't work together for everybody. It works together for the called of God. Why? And I know I told somebody, and I tell you a lot, but I told somebody one time that, and they said, how can this sickness be and my husband be dead? How can everything work? I just didn't say no more because there's no need of arguing with anybody on the basis, because there was no way for her to follow that line, so there was no need of talking about that line. But see, she didn't believe it all worked together. Well, I've got a child that's sick. Or I'm sick, or this. What if it is that God's trying to get your attention? Amen. What if it's his loving kindness? Amen. Remember the story of how the little sheep winds up straying away from the shepherd, you know. And what does the shepherd do? He breaks the leg of the sheep. What? He breaks the leg of the sheep. Why? Where he can pet it, pamper it, and show his love. You mean the breaking of the leg is showing his love? Well, you tell me what it is. But see, we want everything on the sweet side, right? Oh, yes, that's wonderful. But remember, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. Amen. What if God let that sickness come on you for some reason?
Right.
Well, if we go the wrong way, it's certainly not going to work out for his honor and glory. You know, if we're griping and complaining. Huh? Okay. Sometimes we get weary, upset. We get hastily. We think, oh, we must do this or do that. But remember, God's clock will be exactly on time. All these things has to be this way. It has to all be done according to his great knowledge. His foreknowledge, for by foreknowledge he could predestinate. Now watch. Not by his desire, because see, the Bible said he desired everybody to be saved, right? But by his foreknowledge. God doesn't predestinate by his desire. He is not willing that any should perish, but by his foreknowledge, he knew who would accept it and who would not. Therefore, he can make everything work according to his big time clock that's ticking away, for he could foretell the end from the beginning, and therefore he knew that we would live in this day. What about it? He knew that this would be our day. He had plans for this day. He has had plans for every day. And never has one of his plans ever fail. He's always on time. He's got a plan for this day. And you know, it may be that some of us will have to give our lives for the gospel. Boy, that don't fit too good in my plan. But what if it's his plan and purpose? What about it? But see, we don't take it as being the correct way, right? We want our desires. Look what he goes on to say. And when their eyes were opened, they knew him. 1964. Paragraph 205. Just like the word predestinate. It's a bad word. I used it a few minutes ago, and I caught myself because I felt the Spirit move back. Why? Why did he? Many people don't believe in predestination. You know why really they don't believe in predestination? They've never heard the truth.
Right.
If you never heard the truth, you're based upon your knowledge of what you had or what you've been told. Right. Mama told us the Bible said every tub would sit on its own bottom. Mama told me that, and she read the Bible. I said, but I'll give you $10,000 to find it. You're just being sarcastic, throwing off on my mama. No, throwing off on your dumbness. Mama was sincere. She thought she read that. She had heard somebody else say it was in there. She was innocent. But stupidity don't run through innocence. Okay? But listen. People don't believe in predestination. Predestination is a bad word. It's really foreknowledge. God knows before who will and who won't, so therefore he can predestinate by his foreknowledge. That's the reason he knows who will and who won't. Why? Foreknowledge. He's not willing that any should perish, but he knows who will perish. If he wasn't, then he wasn't God. He has to be omnipotent, just the same as omnipresent. See, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, infinite, he's infinite. If he isn't God. So he knows all things. Therefore, he can tell the end from the beginning because he is the Word. Oh. Do you think he made a mistake there of saying because he's the Word or saying he was God? I think he said what he meant what he said. Because the Word is right. The Word was always right about the foreknowledge, the predestination, because it always said it was by foreknowledge. It never changed. It was always the foreknowledge. All right, let's read a couple more. The resurrection of Jesus. We read some of this the other day, but listen, now watch what he's saying. It's strange in reading, taking his word. This is the message of what? Make sure it's on tape. The resurrection, 1956. It's strange in reading, taking his word, how that God, way back before the world ever begun, how he began to see the thing unfold and know then. God didn't make a choice then. See, now you've got the only got a quote that he made me, he chose me. Well, now, here's where the prophet is explaining it. God could not, could say the word of predestinate. The word predestinate, as I've always said, is not a good word to use to the public because predestinate means perhaps to predestinate something to happen. But God could not predestinate, but God could predestinate by foreknowledge. He foreknew what would be, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But being infinite and God, he could predestinate and foretell by foreknowledge. What's the problem then? All right. What's the problem of our thoughts on predestination? The message, we would see Jesus, 1958. God by... Now watch him. He's talking about, I hated Esau he saw before. He's one had a choice. God by, not predestination by his will, but by his foreknowledge. He knew that all Esau would be a shyster to begin with. Now he knew that. If he didn't, he's not God. All right? Harvest time, 1964. Look what he says. He is infinite. He's omnipresent, omniscient. Therefore, he knows all things. He can't be present everywhere. You know what he is, because he's a being. By being omniscient, knowing all things, then he can be present everywhere. Because that's the way he predestinates us, by foreknowledge. Not because he desired that this person should be saved and this one lost, but he knew who would be lost and who would be saved. See, therefore, by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate. And he makes everything work to his glory. That's what his attributes are doing, displaying to his glory one vessel of honor and one of dishonor. But it's God that maketh it. Now watch. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Okay? Now look at these three and then we'll quit. God's covenant with Abraham and his seed, 1956. God's not willing that anybody should perish, but it all would come to repentance. But in order to be God, he had to know. Now the word predestinate, as is used in Ephesians 1:5, predestinate there isn't a good word. It means in speaking of predestination to the people, sometimes lead them to think that God just predestinates you to push you through a little pipe or something. That's not right. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. So then he doesn't, as I was just trying to express, he doesn't put you in a pipe and push you. You remember the end of the message last Sunday evening? Where the young girl was supposed to, Brother Branham told her that God had healed her. And she told her mother that day or something, said, I'm going home. She said, yes, you're healed, you're going home. She said, no, I'm dying. She said, no, you're going home, you're well. You remember she died. Brother Branham told God, said, you owe me an answer. He said, God don't owe you nothing. He said he let him pout it out for about 3 months, and then he come and told him. He said, remember when she was down at that little outing at the river and said she fell in the river and drowned. He said that was her time. He said, I gave her the year extended to her time. It was the man's time to die in the Bible. God gave him 15 years. Is everything so cut and dried until we can't think of other things? Look at the next one. Marriage of the Lamb, preached in 1962. But that's up to you. You know, you're talking about gambling, drinking, lying, stealing. Said, I'll serve him, but that's up to you. See, you ought to do something. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. See? She had made herself ready. I like that word. You see, God cannot push us through a little pipe, pull us out the other end, and then saying, blessed is he that overcometh. Well, if it's predestinated, it's predestinated. Is it that way? I thought it was his foreknowledge.
Right.
So remember, if he predestinates it, it's because of your choice.
Right. Amen.
I've got it. Well, we'll get to the message. God chose me. If he did, he had a reason for choosing you. Why are you fighting the reason?
That's it there.
Why are you not willing to yield yourself to his will? You remember Wednesday night, Wade, it was a good message, right?
Amen.
You remember what he was talking about? You can be in his permissive will and he'll bless you. Right? He'll bless you in your permissive, in his permissive will. We said he had a perfect will. Well, now, if he had a perfect will, why didn't he make it come with a perfect? If it's predestinated, like we say, it's predetermined, why did he go to a permissive will? I'm asking you a simple question. Why is it that he didn't demand it to be his perfect will? If it was his will, it should have been that way. But you see, he knew we wouldn't go his perfect will. So he gave us a permissive. Right? What about it? Are you listening? Are you tying together the message? Blessed is he that overcometh. You had nothing to overcome. See, if he put you in and pushed you through the pipe, you had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself.
Right.
Now watch. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respects to God. We show our faith and respect to God by making choices of the right one. You remember on the sixth seal, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. When Brother Branham came up to a point there on that sixth seal and he stopped and he said, now I'm paraphrasing it, but he said, Lord, I can't tell them that. That's what he said. He said, I can't tell them that. What about a man choosing what to tell us? Evidently, God was happy with it. What about it? Then how can you say that if you're an overcomer, if you had nothing to overcome? Sure, you got to make decisions for yourself. You're here today by choice. You made a decision to get up, get ready, come to church. But you know what? It's the same thing. You had a choice to stay at home. And that's what a lot of people do. They take their choice and they stay at home when they want to and come when they want to. Now, that didn't fit too good. I never had that type of choice when I was in the Baptist church. There was never a question on Sunday morning, was we going to church? It was never a question. We went to church when we were so sick until, you know. What? Because we do pray for the sick. Oh, of course, in this modern day. Now, they didn't do it back then. But in this modern day, your thinking is the same thing. You're not bringing kids to church if they're sick. That'll take and give it to somebody else. We got a downstairs they can stay in if they want to. They got a video down there that can screen, they can watch it. I don't believe in infecting, no. But I don't believe in using infection as an excuse. I don't think you should bring a kid to church if it's sick. Well, where are you supposed to take it? See, we've changed our thinking until we're not even in the correct order of thinking. You mean you're scared of washing somebody's feet? Because you might get the germs off of their feet and it causes you to have something on your feet. You know what? If you got that idea, you're in the subject to getting it. Because remember the things you think about. Okay, give me another second. One more. The power of God, preached in 1956. The word predestinate, that's not a good word to use, the word foreknowledge is better. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. But God not making, listen, set it in order, a little hole that you have to go through and can't go no other way. Now, I didn't say that. Well, you just don't understand what he's saying. That might be true, but I do know what he said. I mean, you know, but God's not making. Set it in order, a little hole that you have to go through and can't go no other way. How are you going to deal with perfect and permissive will? Right? God will let you go in a permissive will. And you know what Brother Brown said he'd wind up doing? Why? Was that, Brother Ray? He said he'd make the permissive will turn out to be his perfect will. Now, what if you don't go that way? You tell me. There's some questions I'd like to ask, like I said, about the little girl that was supposed to die. I'd like to know an answer from you where Brother Branham was standing in Africa. And the managers or whatever, the people, told Brother Brown. Brother Brown said, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here. God sent me here, here, here. The manager said, we're not going. I mean, the people said, we're not going that way. Till even now, this is quoting from Billy Paul. I heard him on the tape say it. He tried to talk his daddy into going the way he told that he was supposed to go. Brother Brown says, we're over here with them. He said, we have to go their way. You know what he done? He took leaves off of a tree. And he throwed it at the brother's feet. And he said, the blood of those souls be on your hands. They wouldn't change their mind. They still went. Brother Brown had to go. He said he paid for it. He was sick. You remember that? But I want to ask you a simple question. You think you've got it all figured out. I want a simple answer to a question. Brother Branham was told to go a certain way. And what if, now I'm using an illustration, okay? What if God showed him 10 people would be saved and 20 healed if he went a certain way. But yet when he turned and went with them men, you better check on it. Because God come down to a man that was sick. And may I use the word backslidden? It'll throw you away. Okay. A man that didn't go God's perfect will, but in his permissive will. What if 10,000 got saved and 20,000 got healed? You got to answer that. I don't have to. I just asked the question. Well, see, we think it's all just stamped and done. It's all just this way. Is it? Is it that way, or is it possible that the prophet said, you know, says you can't go no other way? Is it that you can go another way? Is it that you can make a choice?
Amen.
I thought the Bible said choose you this day. I thought there was a choice. But I hope you understand my point. If you take everything by foreknowledge, then you don't have no worries. Then you can let him predestinate, and there will be a bride. Because she's predestinated.
Amen.
I was looking at it yesterday. Brother Brown said the fivefold ministry was predestinated.
Amen.
He said prophets were predestinated. I can believe in firmly in predestination. But then I have to go back to all by foreknowledge. But not that he just said, okay, you got to go this way, because if you don't go that way, I'm going to destroy you. No, he's got a permissive will. And he'll bless you. And he'll turn around and take that permissive will and make it work for his perfect. Why? Because he foreknows. See, that way you don't have to worry about predestination. Then it's not all of this thing, you know, well, if I'm predestinated, bless God, I'll make it. But if I'm not predestinated, I won't make it. Now, what kind of faith is that? What kind of faith have you got? I ask you a simple question. What kind of faith have you got? Do you have enough faith to believe for your children when they're even lost, or maybe, or out in the world, or whatever? Do you have enough faith to believe that they'll come to the Lord? Or do you have faith in a few of them coming because they're doing pretty good? The others is doing pretty bad, and I don't believe they're coming. What kind of faith is that? Yeah, but you look like no, don't worry about it. God foreknew. He knows whether or not you're going to put forth that faith. What if he's waiting on you? May I quote Brother Branham? Something about a little girl one time he was praying. And you know, he just stopped. When he got around, now I'm just paraphrasing, when he got around to it, and he said, "Lord, waiting on me." What if it is the Lord's waiting on you to speak the word? Right? What if it is the Lord's waiting on you to speak the word about your family? Well, I'd do it if they was doing better. You sure know a lot about predestination, don't you? What if it is, it's like, let's see, how is the statement? If you can't have, now if I paraphrase it and miss it, forgive me. If you can't have faith for your children, I doubt your faith for yourself. That's close enough. Right. Well, see, you can believe for yourself. And then what do you wind up being believing for yourself? Well, I live good and I done good, so I believe the Lord saved me. But my kid's not doing too good. When Wade was out in the world, every time he got worse, I got to grinning. I told June that even before her, she come back, or him, either one. I said, June, every time I look at him, I laugh. I said, because I know the road he's going through to come. And the further he keeps going and the worse he gets, the harder the road's going to be. But he's going to come, and I ain't arguing with you about it. Can you believe for your family like that? You mean to tell me that, Brother Dale, you're trying to get God to change his mind? No. I'm trying to find his mind. Because I read one time, if the mind that was in Christ be in you, and that's not his brain. But I read some more scriptures about that too, that it would make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. What do you think about predestination, foreknowledge? Well, foreknowledge, he's seen me, he's going to put me in that pipe, he's going to push me through the other end. No. Can't be. You know, sometimes it might be we have to crawl in the pipe. Right? But why can't you be straight and honest about your thinking of predestination? Yeah, but it's just determined beforehand. Why does he determine it? And if he determines it by choosing who he wants and who he doesn't want, then he's a respecter of persons and you've got the Bible messed up. But if he chooses by his foreknowledge, then it doesn't matter where you're a predestinated seed or any other seed or what this seed is, or you're such a great person or this, that, or the other. It don't make no difference. It's all by foreknowledge. His foreknowledge let him know, I was in our reading, what Esau would be. But his foreknowledge let him know what Jacob would be. So before the world, he could predetermine it. He knew every person that would ever be saved and every person would ever be lost. You agree? Amen. So before the foundation of the world, he could write a book. Called the book of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And he could put your name in there or he could leave your name out. Well, that's respect for person. No. Because he knew what you'd do. Remember, you are making your own predestination. Your destiny today is based on your own thinking and your own choosing. Now you tell me what else it's based on. What about it? What about that time? What about that being? All right. So we got 11:30. We got 30 minutes or more. So, you know, we'll get down to the day and what we're doing. And I make this statement not as a sarcastic statement to you, but as a truth. You know, Brother Branham said, I wish I could give everybody a present at Christmas. Right? You remember that? He said, but I can't. When I see, remember, he had a worldwide, not just Branham Tabernacle. He had a worldwide. He got, you know. But you know what? God gave us the ability years ago, and I set that as my goal, to give everybody a gift at Christmas time. To show you how much we think of you in doings. We started giving a silver dollar when they cost a couple of bucks a piece. Now they're like into $30 or something a piece or whatever. And, but we give those silver dollars to people with jobs. Not to everybody, because that would be a lot of doings, but, you know. But we give everybody who has a position a silver dollar as a thank you for you fulfilling that office and job. All right? You're put in those positions for the purpose of, you know, operating to help the church and the doings and whatever it is that you do. You're put there for that purpose of doing that job. Now, we don't give ever assistant to that, a silver dollar. We give the silver dollars only to the ones who have an established set job. All right? We don't give it to assistants. Right? We may do a little bit of this, that, or the other on some parts, but that's different. But not to assistants. We give the silver dollars to the ones who hold the offices and the jobs that they're ordained for to doing. All right? And in doing that, then, but we try to give everybody a gift to where that you can, you know, say, well, we're part of this, and give you a thank you gift. But now remember a statement. Just because you assisted somebody doesn't mean you get a silver dollar. Assistants don't get silver dollars. The ones who hold down the jobs get the silver dollars. Right? The positions, song leader, you know, and we got three of them, see. Whatever is set into that. Musicians, we got plenty of them in all doings. But that's what we'd like to do today, if we could, to have everybody, because Brother Joe, if he'll come out with his camera, we want to get everybody, and we're going to do it. We have done it with the groups. We're going to do it individually. I'm going to just take it and call your name, and you come up, and we want your picture taken. And what we're doing is we've done the best we could do. And now I know you don't think it, but you can certainly forget a lot of things. Everything, you know. And then somebody come along and say, well, you didn't call my name.